do have a quorum, so we'll call the meeting to order. Representative Lanceski, you were in the quorum. Someone said that's the door price for that. Only if you do that on time. The minutes in the, of the April 19th meeting is in your packet. Representative Aaron Murphy, would you be so kind as to move? Minutes have been moved. Any questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed and carried. The first bill we're going to take on the agenda today is House File 1351, the Transportation Policy Omnibus Bill. And it comes to us because of some provisions in it that are spending money out of the funds other than general revenue fund. Representative Hornstein, the general revenue is given a target in the transportation issue. Ask you a question, does this bill keep the transportation within the target?
Mr. Chair, members, thank you very much. Yes, it's my understanding that we're within targets. That was accomplished yesterday when we were able to reduce the general fund allocations to zero in the Finance Committee.
Okay, the chair then would move that House File 1351 be recommended to pass and placed on the general registry. Representative Hornstein, if you want to just give a very brief description on the fiscal policies in here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. It's nice to be the warm-up act for the tax bill. This bill procedurally went through first the Transportation Policy and Transit Subcommittee, which I chair, and then it was marked up in the full Transportation Finance and Policy Committee, chaired by Representative Leader. The next stop was yesterday in the Finance Committee, and there were a number of amendments there. But the main action, I think, of concern to Ways and Means, Ways and Means members yesterday was, again, as I mentioned to Chair Solberg, we took out the general fund revenue, so you'll see on the fiscal note that those are at zero. So the bill, contains a number of provisions on policy matters. We also have several reports, some changes in vehicle weight sizes, some provisions related to railroads, including a safety inspector, and then a lot of smaller provisions that various members came to us with, non-controversial in nature. But again, we did have some policy-oriented amendments added yesterday in the Finance Committee. But beyond that, it's pretty straightforward, and I ask for your support.
Questions? Representative Hoberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hornstein, I'm looking at the fiscal note from today at 1:18 p.m., so I'm not sure how much time you've had to study and memorize the fiscal note, but at the very bottom of the page, it references a note number 2, and then in the description talks about resources attached for Article 10, and I'm not finding an Article 10 in the bill, and it talks about this issue being voluntary. Do you know what that is in reference to?
Representative Holberg, maybe we can divert that question to Mr. Marks. Is that okay? No. Mr. Marks?
Mr. Chair, I think that that this was a voluntary provision, and so the fiscal note showed $0 on it, or zero appropriation. Maybe Representative Hornstein can elaborate on that.
Thank you very much,
Representative Hornstein.
Mr. Chair and Representative Holberg, this related to language that was in the bill related to best practices. It was Representative Hillstrom's bill. We had to delete the fiscal impact because there was a general fund allocation. It's our hope that the policy language will remain in there. But the fiscal piece was deleted. Apparently that's in the state government finance bill, so it will no longer be in this bill. And so we deleted that was a significant part of the general fund impact of this.
Mr. Marks?
Mr. Chair, that note, and I believe note 2 should have come off here and was left over from yesterday and should have been taken off this spreadsheet.
And Mr. Chair, if I might
further
clarification from Representative Hornstein, you said some of the language is in this bill, but there's no money, is that correct?
Well, there's...
Representative Hornstein?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, Representative Holbrook. There's, I believe, if you look under, this is on page 112 of the bill, and it extends into 113, there is some language related to excuse me? Okay. I understand that the amendment took this language out yesterday. I'm looking at the first engrossment, unfortunately. I apologize. It's been 24 hours. So, really, Article 10 is not in the bill any longer.
And Representative Hornstein, I recognize that. And my question is there policy language relative to this issue still in the bill, and if so, where?
Representative Hornstein.
My understanding is no, and so we are going to be, you know, talking to the state government finance chair and kind of rectifying any issues related to lining up the policy and the finance, you know, on this provision.
All right, and Mr. Chair, then I have an additional question, and that's the note number 1 at the bottom of the fiscal note. The second line, and it says revenue and expenditures for this section are dependent on whether a 10-cent gas tax increase will go into effect in the 07 Omnibus Transportation Finance Bill. Can you explain that?
Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Holbrook. That was an amendment I added yesterday in the Finance Committee, and we had a number of truck weight provisions. I think some members were concerned about impacts that additional truck weights may have on the condition of the roads, and so rather than deleting those, we did want to make a contingent on additional revenue that could be coming into the system, so to ensure that those truck weights wouldn't have impacts on the roads, to the extent that there were worries about that.
And Representative Hornstein, can you tell me what page of the bill that provision is on then?
I'm going to look in
Representative Hornstein.
It's in Article 5. I'll have to get the exact page reference. I'm sorry about that, Representative Holbert.
Representative Holbrook and Representative Hornstein, I think it's on page 78,
okay.
Section 15, line 78.12 to 15.
Correct.
I think that's what it says.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate those clarifications.
Other discussion on the bill? Other discussion on the bill? If not, then the Chair would renew his motion that House File 1351 be recommended to pass and placed on the General Registry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? And carried.
Thank you, Mr. Chair Member.
The next bill under consideration then is the Omnibus Tax Bill, House File 2362. Representative Lemchesky, welcome to the committee, your own committee. Would you like to be one of those moving?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move House File 2362.
And be recommended to pass and refer to the
floor.
To the General Registry. Okay? Very good. I think there may be some an amendment coming through. Members, you should have in your packet a spreadsheet. Does everyone have the spreadsheet? It's in there.
Yeah.
We've been handed an amendment, H236-2A30. Madam Chair, is that yours?
Yes. Mr. Chair, I would like to move the A30 amendment.
The Representative Lencheski moves H236-2A30 amendment. Representative Lencheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. There's three pieces to this amendment, and if you have questions on any of them in great detail, I'll ask staff to join me. The first 14 lines are technical amendments that were brought to us by the Department of Revenue, minor changes. The lines 115 through 120 is the Mahnomen County piece that's in the Property Tax Division report. It was brought to my attention by House Research staff that there's a different calculation needed relative to the capacity and the county aid. And Mr. Hines is here to explain that if there's further questions. And in the last part, lines 121, 1.21 and 1.22 were actually results of a discussion with Representative Solberg and Mr. Marks on a fiscal note that was provided by the Department of the Revenue to the Tax Committee earlier this year for $60,000 being counted in penalties. And we don't have it on the spreadsheet, so this amendment puts it on the spreadsheet and then gives that money to the Department of Revenue, who is requesting more money to implement some of the studies that are required in the omnibus tax bill.
Members, it does appear on your spreadsheet as a line item. I had it highlighted at one time.
Mr. Chair, it is line 211 on page 10 of the spreadsheet.
Thank you. This then takes that $60,000 that was on the bottom line and gives it to the department for those studies.
Correct, Mr. Okay. Chair, and then it's shown again. There's both the revenue and the spending side on line 224.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The amendment A30 is before us. Discussion to the amendment? If not, all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And carried. Representative Lencheski, want to give a brief description?
Mr. Chair, I stand available for questions. I'll give you as much as little information as you like. I do know that your habit is to ask folks if they've met their target. And
I'm
going to
do that.
Okay.
Let me do that first.
Sure.
Representative Lencheski, you've been given a target by the Ways and Means Committee. Are you within the target?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I am happy to say we're exactly at the target, and you can find that on page 13, line 282 of the spreadsheet.
Thank you. Just a very brief description, if you want, and then we'll go to
members, this is the House Majority's attempt to provide property tax relief to Minnesotans. This bill provides property tax relief to every Minnesotan, one way or another. We are paying for it with a fourth tier increase, a correction to the problem we are experiencing that the Department of Revenue has told us, in that our tax system is becoming more regressive. We're attempting to, at least in part, correct that situation. We have a number of other things going on in the bill, lots of agricultural relief, lots of things for veterans, a number of local provisions bipartisanly that members brought forward. We have a long list, and it's provided to you on the spreadsheet of no cost, zero impact of the spreadsheet, bills that members carried through both the Property Tax Division and the full committee. And I can tell you, and those who sit on the tax committee, there's a few here, know that we heard over 300 bills in the tax committee. We were told by the Department of Revenue that we broke a record, and we did our best to try to hear almost every bill that came before the tax committee. We missed a few, but I think in general we had a good discussion about a broad range of issues in the income, the sales, and the property tax areas.
Thank you. Amendments or discussions, first of all? We could probably, I don't have any amendments in front of me. Are there amendments to the bill? Are there any amendments to the bill? Any discussion? Good. Any amendments? Any amendments to the bill? Representative Freedom, do you have your hand up? Okay, very good. Well, we'll keep a list then going of discussion. Okay, a discussion on the bill. Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I know you and Chair Lincheski were having some discussion about the targets, and I just thought as long as the Speaker and the Majority Leader are both also here, if I'm not mistaken, I believe tomorrow is the day for the joint targets, and I was just wondering, is you're talking about targets, and how does this all fit, and will we hear what those targets are shortly, Mr. Chair, and will they be different, or will they be the same as these, or how does that work?
Are you asking that of me?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm a little naive, and I thought, well, everybody, all the power brokers are here, and I thought, you guys, between all of you, you probably know the answers, and I just, my mind got tripped you, if I remember right, the day after tomorrow, it's Friday, I'm sorry, I'm losing track of what day of the week it is, but if I'm not mistaken, and would the joint targets be different than these? Are you going to ask them if their number, I've always been intrigued by you asking them if they meet the target, I would think that they know to say yes, and I'm just wondering, will we learn those new numbers? Where will we learn those, Mr. Chair?
Yes. Representative McNamara, first of all, they don't learn to say yes. They have to say yes because they have to meet the target. So I don't prompt them to say yes, but some of them actually were a little bit underneath their target in a couple areas. Representative or Speaker Margaret Kelleher Anderson, would you like to?
Yes.
Anderson Kelleher, I'm sorry.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative McNamara, thanks for your question. Speaking of power brokers, it looks like your members did quite well in this bill. I mean, Representative Lincheski's lived up to her reputation as a very fair chair. I'm quite impressed by that. Secondly, it is Friday that we had set by rule, but I will tell you that we had a meeting with the governor yesterday, and the governor has asked if we can work through a process to figure out his involvement in the target setting. And I am happy to report I invited him to have a meeting, Senator Pogomiller and I did, to have another meeting about that. And so, I think we're making good progress on this issue. I think all members of the legislature would prefer that we are making progress towards targets that will result in bills getting signed.
Mr. Chair,
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Speaker. So that I understand, we'll be adjusting to match up with the conference committees. Is that how that's how it works now? The joint targets are targets for the conference committees that add up to the total. Is that how that will be? And then you'll announce those, and those are done jointly? Because historically, when we didn't have the same party in charge in the House and the Senate, if I remember, that was always a challenge for us because there was some philosophical difference, and I'm assuming that probably is somewhat easier now, or is that not a true statement? And I don't mean this. I'm trying, Mr. Chair, to...
Well, can I answer that?
Your question is for you. If you want to defer it to the Speaker, absolutely.
Well, maybe we both can. One of the things that we have around this legislative process is a Senate and a House. And each one brings a spending priorities to it. We work through that process. And as the Speaker has said, the Governor's office is the third leg of that stool. That makes a good plane. I'm sure there'll be good, strong negotiations in that as well. And it's not a monarchy. It's not a oligarchy. It's three people that are making the plane. And that negotiations is, I'm sure, taking place, and we'll have a good result as a result of that. Yeah. Other questions? Representative Swigum, did you have a question?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. Representative Lincheski, I noticed the first question that the Chairman asked you was about meeting your target. You said that you had met your target, which is very good. That's your charge as Chair of the Tax Committee. A couple questions. In relationship to the direction or the things you've heard from the governor in regards to his targets in relationship to maybe raising tax burdens, not raising tax burdens, do you think your bill meets the governor's approval and target?
Representative Lincheski.
Mr. Chair and Representative Swigum, thank you for that question. And Ms. Templin maybe can hand me a piece of paper that actually shows the governor's target. I thought I had it with me, and I don't. Thank you. Appreciate that. I think the House staff is incredible. You can just say something and it appears. But to your question, Representative Sigham, as you know, the tax committee is unique in that it can both raise and have expenditure. So,
and you have growth.
So we have a natural ability to be flexible. But I will tell you that, interestingly, when everything nets out on the spreadsheet, the governor actually had a higher target for his tax area than I did. But you're right, we're able to raise revenue. Yes. Well, and I apologize, I don't have copies of this for the whole committee, but even in the case of the net, the governor got a higher target than the House Tax Committee.
Mr. Chairman Lincheski, if I could, when we talk about targets, suppose that we hypothetically were to roll back this committee 2 months ago. Suppose we were to roll back 2 months ago, probably 2 months from the day when we're in this room, suppose that when the majority set their target, suppose they didn't set quite as large a target for Health and Human Services budgets.
Mr. Humphrey's area.
Or quite as large in state government finance, Representative Khan's area. Or quite as large in housing, Representative Park's area. Or quite as large in Health and Human Services, housing, state government finance, the bonding bill. I think we spent some $140 million of cash in the bonding bill. Target there. I could go on down the line. If we'd adjusted those targets differently and gave you a little bit larger of a target, do you think you'd have had to raise taxes as much as you did?
Representative Lincheski.
Mr. Chair and Representative Sigham, have to know what that target would be, but you're right in that all of these bills are interconnected, and that is the case. So, it would depend how much we'd end up within that situation, but we'd certainly be looking for the $400 million property tax relief that we've got in the bill.
That's correct. Mr. Chairman, then just the last question. If your target had not been starved in a strategized way, starving your target for property tax relief, it would have been possible to set these targets in such a way to give you a target to do property tax relief without having to raise taxes. Would it not have been?
Representative Lincheski.
Thank you, Representative Solberg, or Mr. Chair Solberg, and Representative Swagum.
Just don't call me late for supper. And not many people have done that either, as you can tell.
You know, I wouldn't want to speculate on that. I do know that I have not felt starved or coerced or made to do anything. So, I think that sometimes people feel like that people are being forced to make decisions. I haven't felt that way as the chair of the tax committee. And I have to say that you've been on the tax committee before, and I was on the tax committee with you the first 2 years, or at least you came in the room a lot. I remember that. And I have to tell you, I do think that, I think you were on it, actually. I don't remember. But bipartisanly, the tax committee members have just been an incredible group to work with, and I do not feel that I've been really forced to do anything. I've tried to sense where that our caucus is at, but that's being driven by where Minnesotans are at. Representative Marquardt did an excellent job of really allowing Minnesotans to engage in his property tax hotline or whatever he called it, and we heard from hundreds of people, and this really is a product of what Minnesotans told us they were looking for.
Well, thank you.
Representative Spiegel.
Chairman, thank you. I don't think Minnesotans are at needing more than 9.8% increase in spending. I don't think they're at more than $3 billion in increase spending. You happen to feel they do. I understand the difference. I respect that. But I don't think that they're there.
Representative Holbrook?
Mr. Chair, I didn't have a question at this time.
Okay. Other discussion on the bill? If not, then Representative Lincheski renews her motion that House File 2362 be recommended to pass and placed on the general register.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Well, Representative...
The lack of nobody else saying anything, let me just prolong the meeting for a second. Okay?
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Obviously, some good provisions. There's a couple provisions, though, that I'm very concerned about that are not in the bill. considering all the revenues that are raised in this bill, Representative Lanchesky, how was it that we were not able to go forward with a major issue that was seemed to have significant bipartisan support, and that was for our military personnel, exemptions for our retired military personnel, and trying to keep some of those in the state as opposed to them choosing 43 other states to give them some type of recognition? How can we raise so much tax burdens and not give them the little piece that they were asking?
Representative Lanchesky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of Representative Swigum. You know, I guess the way to think about it for me, Representative Swigum, in limited choices, and the governor did propose more spending in that area, we actually tried very hard to not do all the revenue reductions that the governor did, and for those who don't serve on the tax committee, when we lose revenue, that's spending for us. If we don't make people pay their taxes, then we have to raise it somewhere else. So the initiatives Representative Swigum is referencing are actually people who are currently paying tax wouldn't have to pay the tax. So it's a loss on the spreadsheet. We have to find the money somewhere else. We did make the choice and to instead do a number of other provisions for the military, the veterans in Minnesota. And we did, I think, conscientiously choose to instead use limited resources for those who are actively serving now and for our National Guard now, people who are either going overseas or returning by doubling the military service credit. We've got your bill in there, Representative Swigum, for our VFWs and American Legions. We are giving disabled veterans the ability, if they're 100% disabled, to not pay property taxes. If they're partially disabled, they're paying something else. We have Representative Ruth's bill that allows hardship. Veterans qualify for hardship, which means they don't have to pay special assessments. We're also treating our National Guard members who are serving out of the state. We're allowing them to calculate their income differently so they receive a tax preference for that. So we have a lot going on in that area. You're referencing one piece, and I have to say that it was a choice to have to determine for those who are retired and many who were not in combat, kind of pitted against, unfortunately, those folks who are actively serving and are combat, National Guard, and enlisted. And you know, I know the governor is a strong supporter of this. As you stated, bipartisanly, many members are, and I think it's going to be a part of the conference committee process.
Professor Swigum, do you have any more questions? Before we leave, Representative Swigum, as I heard him on the radio this morning, Steve, I was actually shaving when you were talking. I just woke up. It was a little bit of a difficulty. No, I was very pleased to see that you are now going to be a professor. Adjutant professor, is that what they call it? At the adjunct professor?
Professor emeritus, I
think. at the Humphrey Institute. So congratulations on your new appointment. That's exciting. And if you ever need a guest speaker that would have the other side of your, as you discuss that with the students, there's all kinds of resources over here.
Mr. Chairman, I think there's all kinds of those professors on the other side there.
Well, I'm sure that there is a balanced approach. Representative Kahn.
Chairman, just Representative
Swigum,
I hope you understand that every day you're coming
here in Representative Kahn and Mr. Chairman, if I could.
Representative Swigum.
I had a chance about a month ago to go over and speak to a few professors and a few fellows at the university, and I told them, as I, interesting you would say that, as I drive in, you try to judge your audience as you drive in and walk through a garage or walk through the parking lot, you know, and you look at the bumper stickers. I told them as I walked into this room, I was scared. I was scared. It was all the bumper stickers that you don't find in Kenyon Wanamingo.
You mean they had Bush on them?
But it wasn't both Bush.
Oh. Okay, let's get out. Representative Paulson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. We actually had a good debate on the floor today, and I know we're going to have a pretty good debate Friday when Representative Chesty's bill comes forward. But I genuinely have some real concerns about the direction of the bill. And, you know, over the Easter Passover break, there was one gentleman that I spoke with when I went to visit my parents' church. And this is someone who has, you know, spent a lot of time building a very successful business and a very good life with his kids and that in the Chaska-Chanhassen area where I grew up. And he basically said, you know, if this goes through, I'm gone. I'm going to Florida. And this is someone who gives a lot of charitable contributions to the state. He wants to stay in Minnesota because his kids are here and he's built his business here. And I just have some genuine concern if these are the folks that we're sending the wrong message to leave the state. And so, I mean, for that reason, I'm going to continue to oppose the bill in its current form. And I hope that Representative Lencheski, you continue to work, as I know you will try, with the governor to make sure we do get done on time and implement the appropriate tax policy with the reforms that are in the bill that are good property tax reforms that will be paid for appropriately.
Representative McNamara, did you have a question?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I just had a question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Lencheski, I just wanted to follow up. I wanted to ask about Representative Swigum's questions. I've had a number of military folks talk to me, and being on a border community, specifically can remember a couple different individuals that retired from the military and moved over to Wisconsin because they don't tax military retirement and benefits. And so many times these folks have come to me and talked about how they're actually early in their years for retirement, some of them even in their early 40s, sometimes it's a couple, husband and wife, professionals, many times retired officers. And they come with the benefits of military insurance and such. And so and I understand that we are one of, I think, single-digit number of states that still do not have this benefit. And I'm just really surprised. This was in the governor's budget, in his recommendation, and he didn't have the opportunity to have the hundreds of millions of dollars of additional revenue that you have in your bill. He crafted a bill not with that amount of money. What do I tell these folks, the answer that we were not able to, in our bill, with all the more money we have, come up with this benefit? I just think, to me, it makes a mistake. I don't see how we're going to chase these people to the few other... why would they want to come to Minnesota unless they've got grandchildren that they just really feel attached to live with? I think we're just losing. It's a huge... drain on our state of really qualified people. I didn't get to sit on the committees that heard this. I can't believe the testimony has to really be strong. How could we not include this?
Representative Lencheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members, and Representative McNamara. There's the tax policy part and there's the emotional part. So the tax policy part, we don't exempt people's pension income no matter how they earn it. We've never done that in Minnesota. And what the tax policy argument behind it says, if you do something that we think is really honorable, we'll give you a tax preference. We've never done that in the history of Minnesota. We don't take anybody's pension income, no matter how they earn it, and exempt it from taxation. It is added in the calculation as they file above the line on their income tax statement. So that would be breaking new ground. That's the tax policy part. Within the choice of, you know, what are we going to do because some other states do this? First, many of those states who are doing it don't have the income tax. So it's not an accurate comparison to say that these folks aren't paying this tax in that state. Well, those states don't have the income tax. So we don't know what they do if they had the income tax. But I think the core argument that I've heard around this issue tends to be around migration behavior. And in general, the tax committee tries to not affect behavior in its tax policies, and it doesn't try to guess what might this tax policy do to make people come, go, you know, whatever. I mean, you could make a pretty good argument, and I think many have, that if you want to have a tax policy to lure people here or push them away, you can do different things. Best practices would really be to try to do neither and let the market work. But for those who would argue that this tax policy preference would, in fact, change migration habits of those who are retired military, the data is pretty specious. First of all, half the tax preference, the dollars that would go to that, would actually fall to folks who are not going to come from anywhere and work. They're past working age. So you'd have to separate that off. Then you'd look at those who are young enough to still be working and say, will this make them come here? Don't know. It's a big question mark. I think in general you hear liberal folks say that, you know, one way to really lure people to your state is just raise taxes and buy everything. I'm not really compelled by that argument. Other folks on the other side, really conservative, say one way to get everybody to come here is just cut their taxes. Not really compelled by that either. In fact, the data doesn't show that. The data shows that tax policy doesn't have a lot of impact on location. It is one of very many variables. And if you look at the kind of highest income earners in the country, they tend to live in states that have very high tax rates. Now, Very liberal folks have tended to take that argument and say, see, raise taxes and they'll all come here. It's really a correlation. It's not a causation. I mean, that's not what's going on. And the data does not reflect whether you're looking at conservative think tanks or more liberal think tanks that really these sets of tax policy issues really will affect particular behavior as it relates to location. At the point of retirement, it certainly may be true that if you're very wealthy and you're living in a high tax state, and most really wealthy folks in the country live in a few states that are very high tax, and they tend to be California, Illinois, and New York. They may attempt to escape the capital gains tax when they go to Florida, but that's really not what's happening here in Minnesota. So I know there's a lot of motion, but I wish people would kind of look at the facts in this bucket, and we do have to make choices, so the debate will continue, because I know people feel very strongly about it.
Representative Magner.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Lincheski, you and I have had a number of discussions, and I appreciate your frankness, and we had one in this committee already right along these same lines. I will just say, you're saying the facts. Maybe the facts don't support what I'm saying, but I can tell you the people I talk to do. And the people in Hastings, Minnesota are moving to Florida, they're moving to Arizona, and they're moving to Prescott, Wisconsin, 5 miles away. In the case of Prescott, they're doing it so they don't have to pay they don't have to pay state tax on their retirement. They're moving to Florida because they don't want to pay our high taxes. And this bill is going to chase more of the good tax-paying, job-producing people in Hastings out of our community, and I hate to see it. It's not the right direction to go. We have got $3 billion, almost 10% additional revenue. This is unfortunate, and we are just chasing good people out of our communities, good communities. And we should be attracting these military people that want to come back home, not chasing them to Prescott, Wisconsin, or Naples, Florida.
Representative Chesky and Representative McNamara, I suppose you can have a philosophical differences on this, but to back up Lincheski's data a little bit, I was at a conference where we were talking about demographics. If you look at the change in demographics, and these two events happened that are very similar to each other, when you look at the population change in Florida, older people are going to Florida. Retired people. And this gentleman who was given the conference and said he was giving this to a bunch of morticians. And they said, we should be establishing new businesses in Florida. And the demographer said, no, don't do that for morticians. He said, because when they get just about ready to die, they move back to the northern states for their health care. And about a week or two later, I was in another meeting in Washington, D.C., and talking to a person who was living there, and he was talking about his parents living in one of the southern states. And he said, I got to go down and get them, though. I'm bringing them back to Minnesota. And I said, why? He said, well, they're about ready for the nursing home, and I don't want to put them in a nursing home in the southern state that they're living in. So I want the quality of life that Minnesota has for those senior citizens. So we do make choices, and I think Representative Lincheski has stated a very clear and compelling reason why Minnesota is the quality of life we have.
Mr. Chair,
just Representative Magner.
Thank you. Just a real quick follow-up. I'm glad you and I are in agreement. You take somebody that's 55 years old like myself in the construction business in Hastings, and they move to Florida, and they continue on in the business down there, and they stay there. And then when they retire, they continue to stay down there. But when they turn 85, folks, you know what they do? They come back to Minnesota for our great health care. Yeah, so we're losing 30 years of them paying taxes, and they come back here for our great health care. And unfortunately, we've created a system where sometimes they come back without any assets, and they move into their children, and then we all get to pay for it. And it's not a good system. We'd be better to all be paying our fair share, attract them back here, have them keep, stay here, Mr. Chair, and I'm glad you understand the situation. It's interesting. When they're 85, they want to come back to the great system that Dr. Huntley is working to keep here. Thank you, Representative Huntley, and it is a good system. I'm glad you understand how expensive it is to be here, and it'd be a lot better if we all shared it evenly instead of letting these people, these good, hard-working people that don't understand why almost $3 billion, almost 10% of additional money, is not enough.
Give me a second. Is you're on the list?
Mr. Chairman, as you were making your presentation and you speak and the different people you've spoken to, I'm sitting here thinking I signed too many approvals for you to go to too many seminars.
Representative Slagan, they were not your signature on those, okay?
I signed a few.
You signed a couple, that's right. You did, that's correct. And it's always interesting, Representative Slagan, when you go to conferences, that you do learn some good information sometimes. Other discussion on the bill? If not, then Representative Vincheschi renews her motion at House File 2362. We recommend to pass and place on the General Registry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. Members, it's a possibility that we will have a meeting tomorrow afternoon to do a couple of the lands bill and another bill with Senator or Representative Gill's bill that we're in finance today. I'll be for Ways and Means if the reports get in and if we have an opportunity to fit them in between the conference committees. We'll try our best to have a quick meeting on those two. House File 904 and 1116. With that, the meeting is adjourned.